Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Endurance Technologies Q1 FY23 results call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vivian. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Q1 FY23 results conference call of Endurance Technologies. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Anurang Jain, Managing Director, Mr. Ramesh Dehani, Director and COO, Mr. Massimo Venuti, Director and CEO, Endurance Overseas, Mr. Satyajit Ray, Director and Group CFO, and Mr. Raj Mundra, Treasurer and Head Investor Relations. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Jain for his opening remarks, post which we can get on to Q&A. Over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you very much, and good morning to everybody. I would like to share details of how we have done in the first quarter of the financial year 2023. In India, in the first quarter of FY 2023, as per the SIAM data, the two-wheeler industry sales grew by 37.24% compared to quarter one of the previous financial year. Scooters grew by 87.86%, and motorcycles grew by 24.24%. The automotive industry in India had a growth of 37.7%. The standalone income of Endurance grew by 39.9%. The two-wheeler business is approximately 82% of the total Endurance India standalone business. In our overseas operations in quarter one of this financial year, the EU and U.K. markets saw a decrease of 16.4% in the volume of passenger cars sold, while our European overseas sales de-grew by 1.9% in euro terms. I would now like to brief all of you on the financials of the first quarter of FY 2023. During quarter one of this financial year as compared to previous year's same quarter, our consolidated total net income grew by 24.2% from rupees 17,063.6 million to rupees 21,185.1 million. Consolidated EBITDA de-grew by 4.9% from rupees 2,570 million to rupees 2,444 million. Consolidated EBITDA margin was at 11.5%. The profit after tax grew by 7.1% from the previous year and was rupees 1,033.85 million at 4.9%. This included the extraordinary expense of our P20 truck and Pune voluntary separation scheme of rupees 102.85 million and the income from the Maharashtra package scheme of incentive scheme of rupees 300.95 million. There was no consolidated net debt, and the company had a positive cash flow of rupees 4,981 million. During quarter one, our standalone total income grew by 39.9% from rupees 11,578 million to rupees 16,201 million. Standalone EBITDA grew by 11.6% from rupees 1,596 million to rupees 1,782.2 million with an EBITDA margin of 11%. Standalone profit after tax grew by 42.5% and was rupees 809.26 million at 5%. This included the extraordinary expense of our P20 truck and Pune voluntary separation scheme of rupees 102.85 million and the income from the Maharashtra package scheme of incentive scheme of rupees 300.95 million. There was no net debt, and there was a standalone positive cash available of 3,420 million rupees. We would like to mention that Endurance is focused in both its Indian and European operations for a profitable growth and are growing higher than the industry growth. The detailed financials are available with the stock exchanges and on the Endurance website. I would also like to share certain other key points for quarter one of this financial year. 76% of consolidated total income, including other income, came from Indian operations, and the balance 24% came from our European operations. In India, in quarter one of FY23, rupees 4,040 million of new business was won from OEs, from OEMs other than Bajaj, which included HMSI, Hero MotoCorp, Aether Energy, Hero Electric, and Tata Motors. I would like to mention that we have rupees 16,320 million worth of requests for quotes from OEMs, which are in discussion. The electronic vehicles market continues to offer significant opportunity for growth for the auto component industry. It is estimated that the Indian EV market will touch $150 billion by 2030, growing at a CAGR of 90% in the next decade. Therefore, at Endurance, we have taken a major step forward to harness this opportunity by executing a share subscription and purchase agreement for acquiring 100% of equity share capital of Maxwell Energy Systems Private Limited in a phased manner. 51% equity stake has already been acquired by us in July. Maxwell is in the business of advanced electronics, particularly in the battery management systems, or the BMS, for automobile EVs and battery packs. We plan to leverage Maxwell's deep technical expertise and its BMS deployment experience in India and Europe. We aim to offer our products to multiple new clients, including Indian and overseas automotive OEMs and manufacturers of battery packs. At present, Maxwell supplies to over 70 automotive OEMs and battery pack makers spread across 15 countries, including India, France, Spain, and USA. Since its inception, Maxwell has deployed over 65,000 smart BMS units in EVs and stationary storage systems, and has active orders in the pipeline of over 400,000 BMS units from OEMs in India and Europe. This includes orders from Hero MotoCorp, which supply started in July 22 this year. This year, Maxwell has launched integrated IBP BMS and ancillary PDU for 2 and 3 dealers. Maxwell is also engaged in new business for the soon-to-be-launched lower-cost PCM Pro BMS. While EVs will be a big focus area for us in the coming years, we are also looking at scaling our growth in the conventional markets of India and Europe. The acquisition of 100% stake in Vicoli SRL Italy will help us expand our innovation solution offerings in the mobility sector in Europe, since Vicoli enables fleet operators to increase route efficiencies, enhance safety, optimize maintenance activity, and lower the fuel costs. The acquisition is in line with our strategic focus on new organic and inorganic growth in both India and Europe by gaining access to new technology backed by continued product innovation. As you are aware, we have added a high technology new product, which is the drive shaft at Waluj Aurangabad. The drive shaft is a proprietary product and an EV agnostic product in an automotive application. A drive shaft transforms the torque generated from an engine through its transmission to the wheels. The application is for three-wheelers and four-wheelers, including some LCVs. The launch of the drive shaft has opened an additional revenue stream for Endurance and will lead to a significant business growth opportunity for Endurance in the future. We have also won orders from Mahindra and TVS, and commercial supplies have started to Bajaj Auto from July 22 onwards. To help our overseas operations to grow in the European two-wheeler component profitable aftermarket business, we have acquired an Italian company, Frenotecnica, in July 22. This company is involved in the business of friction materials and components for braking systems, like brake pads for two-wheelers. In 2021, they had a sales turnover of 3.6 million euro with an EBITDA margin of 1 million euro. They have a very renowned brand name called Brenta in the aftermarket and replacement business. With this acquisition, an acquisition of the two Italian companies, which are Bremeca and Adler in 2020, we want to create a center of excellence in Italy and grow in the premium component components in the two-wheeler segment. This acquisition gives growth opportunities to the Endurance Group in the aftermarket as well as provides access to the in-depth know-how for production technologies of friction materials, especially for brake applications. I would also like to mention that Endurance is focusing on a more value-add and profitable product mix in its future business, which includes braking, suspension, advanced electronics, and casting supplies to 2- and 3-wheeler EV OEMs and new startups, 200cc plus motorcycles, brakes and clutch assemblies with help of acquisition of Adler in Cremica in Italy in the year 2020. The 200cc plus motorcycles brakes business has already started, and the 200cc plus motorcycles clutch business is expected to start in quarter one of the next financial year. Our product mix focus areas are paper-based clutch assemblies replacing cork-based clutch assemblies for motorcycles, continuous variable transmissions or the automatic clutch for scooters. As mentioned earlier, with Hero MotoCorp, we are at an advanced stage of testing and we expect to start supplies from quarter four of this financial year. We will increase also our anti-lock brake systems or ABS for 150cc plus motorcycles with our collaboration with Beijing West Industries. We have started supplies to Bajaj Auto and Royal Enfield. We are also increasing our business of the 200cc plus motorcycles, inverted front forks and adjustable rear motor shock absorbers. This is with the help of our collaboration partners, KTM AG. We are working with KTM to increase supply of both on-road and also start with off-road motorcycle high technology inverted front forks and rear shock absorbers. And we have made a 3-year plan for it. We have also started supplies to HMSI or Honda two-wheelers in India for inverted front forks and have also won orders for inverted front forks from Hero MotoCorp. We are also focusing on fully finished machine castings as compared to raw castings and semi-finished castings for 2, 3 and 4 wheelers. As disc brake assembly business is growing with addition of Bajaj, TVS, Royal Enfield, Yamaha, Hero MotoCorp and HMSI new business, we are increasing our plant capacity of disc brake assemblies from 285,000 numbers a month to 570,000 numbers a month and discs from 375,000 numbers a month to 675,000 numbers a month. Our second plant at Baluj, Aurangabad has been set up for this increase in volumes and has already started operations. By October 22, we should be supplying 470,000 disc brake assemblies per month from both our brake plants at Baluj, Aurangabad. As you are aware, the supply of two-wheeler ABS assemblies to Bajaj started in the last week of September 21 and to Royal Enfield from February 2022 onwards. Our plan is to reach a run rate of 400,000 ABS assemblies per annum by September 22. As you may be aware, competition is mainly from Bosch, which controls a major market share in the Indian ABS motorcycle market, which requires approximately 3 to 3.5 million ABS assemblies per annum. We are also right now in the process of clearing a dual channel ABS also by the end of this calendar year, and we are scaling up additional assembly lines for the same. This is a large business opportunity for Endurance. We are also focused on supply of our products for EV 2 and 3 wheelers. We already started supplies of brake assemblies, suspension and aluminium casting for electric scooter and 3 wheelers. After the acquisition of Maxwell, we are also supplying BMS for 2 wheeler EVs and battery pack makers. Our focus is to supply our EV products to 2- and 3-wheeler OEMs, both existing and new. We have won ₹4,840 million of new business for EVs till quarter one of this financial year. This business is all planned to start in this financial year and reach its peak in FY24. Apart from this, Maxwell has won a 2-year business of ₹254 million from Torque Motors, mainly from Torque Motors, in the quarter one of this financial year. This rupees 4,840 million of business which Endurance has won also includes ₹1,108 million of new business wins for EVs in quarter one of this financial year, including from Ather Energy, Hero Electric, Mahindra Electric and Bounce. We are also focusing on e-bicycle business, especially for our suspension, BMS and brakes. We already have received certain orders for this. This is both for our Indian OEMs and exports. Due to increased orders from Bajaj, Yamaha India, TVS and Hero Electric, we have added a new plant at Chakan to help increase our supplies from 240,000 alloy wheels a month to 380,000 alloy wheels a month. This plant has already started operations in July 22. We have also started supplies to TVS for alloy wheels in July 2022. In Europe, in quarter one of this financial year, we have won 14.32 million euro of business from Daimler, Magna Lighting, Bosch and Stellantis. As you all know, we won 71 million euro new business in the last financial year in Europe. I would also like to point out that Endurance, both in India and Europe, is actively pursuing its focus on gaining access to new technology and focusing on new product, organic and inorganic growth. As I mentioned earlier, Endurance has also entered two backward integration product areas, which are import substitutes also. First is aluminium forging axle clamps required for our inverted front forks, for which we have a technical collaboration with a company called FGM in Italy. And as you know, the supplies have already started at our Waluj Aurangabad plant since April 22 for Bajaj and direct exports to KTM. But there has been a lot of interest from other OEMs, and we are also engaged with them for supply of aluminium forgings other than axle clamps. Because the opportunity is not only for axle clamps or inverted front forks, it is also for other applications. The second product is the steel braided hoses for ABS applications for mid and high-end bikes. This supply has already started last year. Both these other projects will help us in our profitable growth. In quarter one of this financial year, our aftermarket sales grew by 53.75% from rupees 626.47 million in the previous year to rupees 963.19 million in quarter one of this financial year. We are exporting aftermarket parts to 31 countries, and we are adding four more countries in this financial year. The aftermarket sales growth is a very large focus area for us at Endurance. Also in quarter one of this financial year, the export sales for India standalone business increased by 11.88% from rupees 361.8 million in quarter one FY22 to rupees 404.8 million in quarter one of this financial year. We are also happy to inform you that Endurance has been chosen as one of the factories of the future by the Economic Times Promising Plant Initiative 2022, which is for the mid-scale and the large plants across India. The evaluating criteria is leadership, innovation, make in India and Atmanirbhar Bharat focus, strong EHS culture, and women empowerment. On the environment front, I would especially like to mention that Endurance is striving to being carbon neutral in its plants by effective use of solar power and wind power, which is increasing every quarter, creating carbon sinks by driving tree plantations and thereby creating dense forests, and driving use of natural gas and LPG in place of electric power and furnace oil. We are also focusing on lowering hazard and waste generation and to achieve zero waste to landfill. At Endurance, it will be a continuous endeavor to grow through organic and inorganic growth with a focus on technology upgradation, quality improvement, cost reduction, and environmental health and safety. We will do our best to fulfill all our stakeholder expectations by following our five values of customer centricity, integrity, transparency, teamwork, and innovation. We at Endurance have a very positive outlook based on our new large business wins in the last 2 years, including for electric vehicles, both in our India and European operations. With these opening remarks, I would like to invite questions from everybody. I would like to inform you that our Maxwell founders, Mr. Akhil Aryan and Mr. Alex Collett, will also take your questions on Maxwell. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may kindly press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Kindly proceed.
Hi. Few questions from my side. Firstly, on the India business, you have talked about the mix-related impact. So can you share some numbers, how the mix changed and what was the impact of that in the India business?
No. What I said is we are focusing on a better product mix, which I mentioned.
Sorry, I'm referring to the first quarter where there was lower production of premium motorcycles, and which in turn also impacted our revenue growth.
Yes. So basically, I would say increase in ABS supplies, increase in inverted front forks and rear monoshock supply for both KTM and KTM Bajaj India, doing more machine castings. Also, I would say more supplies of our backward integration products like aluminum forging we started and via steel-braided hoses. These were the, I think, major. Also, our Vallam plant for Hyundai and Kia, and that business increase will also help us in a better product mix, which is there. Also, starting a new plant, our second brakes plant at Waluj has also helped us to do more brakes business, which is a better value add, because the brakes business has increased as a share of our business also since quarter one of last year. The share of business is continuously increasing for the Indian market. In quarter one, the brake systems were about 31%, of the total market size. And as these new orders, they will ramp up from all the orders we have got from various OEMs, which I mentioned, this figure is really going to increase as a share of business, which we are taking from other players.
Got it.
I think the main products. I'm talking about India right now.
Sure. And secondly, in the India business, in the 40% revenue growth which we have seen, any indication of what was the benefit of RM cost pass-through in that growth number?
See, as you know, the RMC percentage of sales went up from 64.9% in the first quarter of last financial year to 68.8%, which is almost a 3.9% increase. Here, basically, to put a value, because one is a direct value which we buy, as you know, aluminium and steel. Aluminium is almost 50% of our purchases. That rate, to just give you an example, the aluminium which we buy, the maximum has gone up from 162 rupees a kg in quarter one to 228 rupees a kg in quarter one of this financial year. It's a 41% jump. Steel, which is almost more than 30% of our purchases. I mean, both aluminium and steel are more than 80% of our purchases. Steel, which is more than 30, which has gone up by 20%, which includes steels like your bar steel, forging steels, stainless steels, and spring steels. And this has been the major impact of this 3.9%. But having said this, I can't put a figure, if you ask me a figure, because there are a lot of indirect aluminium purchases, like bottom case says we buy for front forks. We buy various castings required for clutches. Brakes also require master cylinder and caliper castings. So there are indirect purchases directly from components, but we have to pass on those increases to our vendors, So which is not a direct purchase. So if you see from this 3.9%, which is about 460 crores, is a total increase in sales, if you take. Direct, what we can relate to is about 150, 160 crores. But it will be much more when I go into the indirect aluminium steel purchases from our suppliers for components. So I don't have a figure right now, but let me tell you one thing, that in terms of volumes, we have grown more than 30%. The issue has been that with certain customers like HMSI, there is a quarter lag where we are getting the increases after one quarter. Even for certain areas like the AC2B for bottom case, it's a two-quarter lag, which we are trying to correct. So that also has its own impact, which is there. But also I would like to mention that, though the volumes have gone up in certain outstation plants in Sanand and in Kolar, in Narsapur, which is, what is happening, the volumes are not enough. Honda has done quite well, HMSI two-wheelers has done quite well, I would say, in quarter one. You've seen the growth but looking at our capacities we have in the outstation plants, still with this increase, it is not enough. So that is why I've been mentioning we are taking new orders from other customers in both these plants to get better economies of scale, to have better profitable growth, and to lower our break-even point. So multi-product and multi-OEM is a focus on most of these outpatient plants, like we have done in our Pannagar plant. You know, we have achieved that also, you know. So I think these are few of the reasons. I don't have a total figure, but I know that 80% is aluminium and steel, 50 plus 30, more than 30.
Sure.
And this has gone up, aluminium by 41% and steel by 20%. But we are seeing a decline from August. Just to let you know, just to further go into it, we are seeing a decline on aluminium prices, almost rupees 20 a kg, and steel by about 6 rupees a kg from August, which is a very good sign. It helps us in the RMC percentage of sales going down.
Got it. And on the similar line, given that this quarter we had a very multiple impacts on margins, how should we look at margins from 1Q levels, given that many of these challenges missed in the last 2-3 quarters are easing? So how do you look at margins for the India business particularly?
You see, what we feel is we have lost at least 3% in RMC in the first quarter. Okay. Now, I'm mentioning, you know, always I mentioned for the last 18 months when, you know, this raw material increases have really troubled us. The moment the RMC percentage to sales goes down, the EBITDA margin goes up, you know. And this is what we are expecting from August onwards. And let's hope this trend continues. We are quite optimistic about it based on our talk with OEMs. But definitely we are seeing softening of aluminium and steel prices, which are more than 80% of our purchases directly or indirectly from vendors.
Okay. So effectively we should go back to that 13-14% margin.
That is a focus. So, you know, but I don't know, it will depend upon how much the aluminium and steel decreases. What I am telling you is 20, and this thing, it should be about 1.5%. But if it goes on further, I can further improve on that, you know. So I think it will all depend on RMC percent to sales, depending on how much the steel and aluminium goes down in the next couple of months.
Got it. A few more questions, but I will fall back into you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amte from InCred Capital. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, hi. So this is with regard to your new wins in EVs. Even though in terms of order wins...
I'm sorry. I'm not able to hear you clearly. Can you be slightly louder so I can hear you?
Mr. Amte, hello.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, now it's much better. Yes, sir.
So this is with regard to electric vehicle order wins. Even though in terms of order inflow side, it looks like almost 20% order inflows are coming from EVs. Yes. Wanted to know strategically what confidence or what ratios you will look at 2-3 years down the line as your sales mix. EV to form as a proportion of sales mix one. Second, also, can you give some color in terms of the profitability of EV order wins? Are they similar? Are they lower? Because you might be aggressively adding them.
Okay, in fact, that's I can say that because the volumes today are low, the pricing in general is better. That is very clear. But having said that, future, as the volumes really go up, you know, of EVs, there may be a, you know, I mean, the prices could be lower. But definitely it's not going to be lower than the existing prices for IC engine. That is for sure. Because ultimately, like I mentioned in the past, whether it's a brake product or it's a suspension product, they are very similar to the IC product. Suspension could be a bit different than damping force values, for example. Brakes, quite similar to what we see. Definitely scooter, where we are getting a larger market share, which is very good for us, because for scooters, this is an additional business. Because as you know, scooters is only 9% of our standalone India business. And most of these orders we are getting is actually for scooters. So to answer your question, one is pricing today is better, but in the next few years could be similar. I can't say. We're always trying to see it's going to be better. But ultimately, it's a competition also which dictates a price, you know, always. At the same time, we are engaged, like I said, with every OEM and every new startup, which matters. And we are not, I mean, going to lose any business. Well, let me tell you, this business of 484 crores also includes a very large brakes business for Ather Energy, which is starting in October 22, and where the volumes are supposed to go up to 300,000 per annum. It's a very good business because we regard Ather as a very, very good company, similar to OEMs. You know, Hero Electric. First quarter, again we have one volume of say 300,000 for the front alloy wheel for their vehicles which are coming up. So there are some very interesting businesses we are getting, which is our strength, of course. And like I said, most of these businesses will start in this financial year, and by FY 24, as per the LOIs of the customers, we should reach the peak of this 484 crores. This, of course, also includes the Bajaj, you know, EV wins we have won for 2 and 3 wheelers. Itself is about 124 crores. And, you know, Bajaj is going very, very aggressive. They have asked all of us to, you know, put up capacity of 10,000 a month immediately, which we have done. So EVs, to answer your question, I can't say what percentage. We are not going to lose any order of EVs. We are going all out. Based on our competitiveness, our technology, our financial strength, we are just going all out and investing in these products. So EV, like I said, is a large focus for us. And if the EV market really happens, as everybody is saying, it will be great. You know, because we are just hoping that the EV market comes up.
Yeah. Thanks for the detailed answer. Second question is with regard to the aluminium prices.
Yes.
Wanted to know, the LME prices have been correcting for some time. How to look at your costing versus LME trend? Why does it take such a lag for you, to get realized on the ground? Second, is there a way to hedge yourself, considering your aluminium is a large proportion, through the LME and have a much transparent pricing in aluminium as compared to steel?
Okay, now I'll answer your question. First is this quarter lag or two-quarter line is only for one customer, which is H&M. Okay? We are trying to talk to them, but they have a practice with all their vendors. Not easy to change the Honda global purchasing policy. But one thing, let me tell you, as the tide is turning towards lower, and if it's a two-quarter lag, definitely I expect some gain from quarter three or quarter four of this financial year. Because like we have been losing last 8 quarters, we are going to start gaining as the tide is turning now after 8 quarters, you know, last 2 years. This is the first part. But this is only for a certain, you know, front fork bottom case alloy. Now coming to your main question, our largest buying in this 50% SOB is a secondary alloy, which we use for all our aluminium die casting business, whether it's two-wheelers, three-wheelers or four-wheelers. This is not depending on LME. LME could be a trend upwards or downwards. But unfortunately, the secondary alloy market trend depends on the scrap pricing. It could be imported or local. Because secondary alloys are made from scrap. And this pricing dictates. And fortunately, with most of our customers, it is on the same quarter we get the increase, with most of them. So whatever is the pricing available from Indian secondary alloy suppliers, that's the pricing which is dictated mainly from the scrap availability, dollar rate if you are importing, or euro rate if you are importing, or the local scrap pricing. So that's the way the aluminum alloy works for us, which is the largest part of our buying is secondary alloy, not primary. Primary is mainly for our alloy wheel business.
Got it. Thanks. Thanks and all of this.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Jhawar from Investec. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from me. Number one is that, you know, how is the outlook for our customers in the premium bikes, specifically Royal Enfield and Bajaj Auto? Just what I wanted to understand, that you mentioned that ABS, the issue that we were facing gradually getting sorted. But just one clarification. So have you seen that the business for other product vertical, whether it is suspension, die casting, that momentum has already picked up in the month of July, and ABS momentum is expected to pick up in the next couple of months?
Okay. See, the major issue still remains the availability of electronic items due to semiconductor chip shortages. It has improved definitely from quarter one, but still not back to normal. Some customers tell us it will be okay by next quarter. In the second half, it will be good. But to be honest, till it happens, it's very difficult to believe it. Fortunately for us, for our EBS, I must say that with our supplier, which is Mando Heller, we have got a very good, response, and that's how we have been increasing our ABS volumes. We are almost doing now 25,000 a month, and we want to reach a run rate of 33,000 by September. Also for ABS, the dual channel is under clearance, which will really, really open up new volumes for us, because that's a major market, the dual channel, both for Bajaj, RE, and that's for everybody, TVS, all the players. So right now, as I said, our capacity is 400,000. We are further increasing it with the dual channel also. So ABS, step by step, we are increasing our capacities, which are there. Fortunately, ABS, I'm quite confident the chip shortages will not dictate our supplies. But definitely on the two-wheeler front, I'm still skeptical. I'm not sure what we have been promised. So till it happens, though I know there's been some de-risking of some of the multinationals with Indian players, that has also improved, I would say, the situation in quarter one, but still not back to normal. I think quarter one, they did about 4.8 million vehicles, which is not bad. But I think the time has come to go back to a level of 6 million, 6 million a quarter or 24 million every year. So that is what we are hoping for. Because so let's hope that happens. But to answer your question, semiconductor chip shortages are still going on, and that's why you don't see people like Bajaj have only gained 1.1% in motorcycles in quarter one, because they don't have semiconductor chips to make more vehicles.
Thank you for that. My second question is for Mr. Ray. So if you can highlight that for specifically, if you look at the standalone business, there has been an uptake in the, OPEX as well as the employee cost. Anything you want to call out in these two items specifically for this quarter?
Yeah, see, firstly, are you asking this question with respect to quarter one of last year?
Yeah, I mean, even sequentially yes. There has been an increase.
No, firstly, quarter to quarter has its own peculiarities. To just clarify, I'll use a few pointers. Quarter one to quarter one, the employment cost increase has been about 5.5 crores, a little less than 5.5 crores, about 5.2 crores. That's entirely driven by increments paid to our management staff and agreement benefits paid to unionized staff. When you come to other expenses, you must remember that last year, out of the 3 months, there was 1 month when the results were extremely depressed and we were partially locking down our plants, drawing down our inventory, trying to see that in those low volume situations, what was the best way to operate. So it's not a fair comparison, because at least for 32, 40, 45 days, the operations were extremely depressed. So all the manufacturing overheads were quite low at that point in time, with plants practically coming to a standstill. So many of the overheads are now at a fairly normal rate. So that's point number one. The other problem which we face very significantly is huge increase in fuel cost. All our energy costs have gone up significantly. To give you a few examples, like PNG between quarter one to quarter one, increased by 63%, LPG 49%, furnace oil 48%, light diesel oil 73%. So that's the kind of increase. Now, this had a cascading increase in other items like freight. So we had a bit of a problem with regard to these type of cost increases during quarter one to quarter one. Now, coming to quarter four to quarter one, the increases in employment costs were because in quarter four, on actuarial valuation, because certain leave as per our rules lapsed, so we got a gain in our actuarial valuation. So that had an abnormal dip. So, but to come back to our question, the main increases are happening from employee increments and agreement benefits for workmen. And between quarter four, quarter one, just to give you a technically sort of, arithmetical answer, like, let's take one item, just to give you an example. Let's say our corporate social responsibility expenses. We had pretty much spent the year's quota almost by December. Okay, so therefore there was hardly any CSR expenditure in quarter four. But as we start quarter one, we would be spending in a certain way during this quarter. So there's a pretty large gap there, you know. But these are all, to my mind, sequencing issues. There's no, I mean, real issue. If you really want to know one problem which we really are somewhat worried about, that's the fuel and gas and oil cost increase, which is an issue because even between quarter four and quarter one, we've seen increases ranging between 12% and 25% kind of. So that's something which is worrisome.
I would also like to add to that, you know, these fuel cost increases affecting operational costs and freight costs. Now we have taken up with the customers. One customer already we are getting increases on conversion cost. Already actually we have received it from 1st July. But other customers, as commodity prices are softening, we are going a bit assertively to try and get these conversion cost increases because these are very high. These are unprecedented, the kind of energy and fuel costs we are seeing. You know, so we are quite hopeful that this will be handled partly or fully.
One additional point, though it is not a part of your question, that between quarter four and quarter one, there was significant reduction in aftermarket sales. In quarter four, we did very well. In quarter one, the figure was considerably lower, and that's also partially driven by the fact that exports in quarter one aftermarket were lower due to our not being able to sell in our geographies like Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Egypt for very well-known reason. So we expect that situation to improve from quarter three, and by quarter four you will see very good numbers in aftermarket. But that's again something which is got to do with the way it is getting phased out. So, but when you compare quarter to quarter, that comes out as a point of comparison.
Yeah, so quarter one to quarter one, as you know, we have grown more than 53%. So I mean, that's going to happen this year for sure.
Perfect. Thanks for the detailed answer. That's for me. I'll join back in the queue.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Gandodia from Alpha Accurate. Kindly proceed.
Hello, sir. So firstly, with respect to our standalone revenue sequential growth, if I see our sequential growth is around 4% and two-wheeler industry on a sequential basis grew by 7.5%. You know, even if I consider the effect of Bajaj auto not motorcycle volumes not being doing so well, even excluding after that, there is no benefit of new order wins that I can see in a sequential revenue growth increasing. So why is that, and do you think this on a volume basis we will be able to outperform two-wheeler industry this year?
No, see, what you have to see is what I give you figures was quarter one to quarter one. Because that's the way we see it normally. And that is a 39.9% growth versus 37.0 growth of the industry, no, not two-wheelers, but actually of the industry. And so it was, we are higher than industry as well as a two-wheeler, quarter one of last year to quarter one of this year. Now, definitely semiconductor shortages have definitely affected the growth of at Bajaj Auto, which is the largest customer in India. And that also surely you know, affects. But like I said earlier, our new orders in the new brakes plant from other customers like TBS, our Vallam plant increasing orders with Hyundai and Kia. ABS supply is increasing. Inverted front forks increasing both in India as well as Europe. Machine casting business increasing. These are all orders which are of the last 1.5-2 years. So definitely it has played a part, you know, for sure. But like I said, the two-wheeler industry still in quarter one is at 4.8 million, you know. So it is It is better than last financial year, but that was also affected by Delta, mainly in the months of April and May. But going forward, like I said, whether it's EV or it's new business wins we have done last year and this year, most of it we will get in by end of this financial year, starting from this quarter. And maybe partly, of course, the orders will go to the next financial year too, you know. So there is a lag because customers do give us orders, to, you know, 1.5 to two years earlier. Some, of course, give us even 1 year earlier. So if you see, there has been growth from quarter one to quarter one.
Okay, got it, sir. But sir, secondly, with respect to our shock absorber business, which is a major business for us, our revenue growth in standalone business for shock absorber for FY22 was 15%, whereas if I see for our major competitor, it was upwards of 35%. So, you know, I just wanted to understand, have we lost any market share in the shock absorber business, and you know, what is our market share trend in this segment?
Let me first tell you, I don't know from where you have the 15% figure, because as far as we are concerned, our shock absorbers and front forks have also grown by 33-34%, and in fact, if you see our SOB as a whole, let me tell you, our shock absorber still is at about 36%, and in fact, 36%, which would have been much higher as a SOB for all products sold, would have been much higher if it wasn't for Bajaj being stagnant at 1.1% growth, being our largest OEM. So as they improve, this figure will you know go up for sure.
Okay, got it. Actually, I got the number from our annual report, standalone segment-wise revenue.
You are talking about, okay, that must have been last year's figure. No, I was talking about in this year you mentioned, right? Quarter one, FY23.
No, for FY22. Wanted to understand for FY22.
Okay, FY22, I don't have all the figures, yeah, but the growth must have been. I was more focusing on this financial year, first quarter, which is more than, like I said, 33-34. And let me tell you, in front forks, like I said, 36.2%, there we are more than 42% market share, you know,
right,
in the front.
Right.
And as you asked me this question, let me, I'm very happy to tell you that in July, which is last month, which I've not included in my sales figures, we have got 100% of Suzuki front fork orders of value of 140 crores. It is starting in FY 2024. It is not included in my opening remarks, and that's a huge thing because it's a huge leap forward, and they are doing very well in scooters, as you know, Suzuki.
Right.
100% front fork orders, 140 crores starting 2024. So we are why I'm telling you this is because suspension, we are taking a lot of new business from new OEMs also.
Okay, got it. That's great, sir. So just last two questions. Firstly, can you give an update on European power cost situation? I can see that our margins on sequential basis have improved in the European business. When do you see getting back to normalcy? And lastly, can you share the customer-wise revenue mix for this quarter or for FY22, whichever is comfortable?
Well, I will not tell you the revenue mix. I only tell you that Bajaj Auto share of business has gone down, okay. That has gone down without losing a single business of Bajaj, obviously, because they have only grown 1.1%. And HMSI, because of their very good growth, that's really gone up. I'll leave it to that. But I request Massimo Venuti to answer the question about Europe, energy cost. Massimo? Massimo, are you there? Or are you on mute?
Sir, this is the operator. His line just got disconnected. We have dialed him out.
Okay, sure.
Sir, we have Mr. Venuti connected.
Okay, thank you.
So Massimo, did you hear the question is about the energy cost?
No, of course not enough because I lost the connection. Could you repeat, please?
Would you like to repeat your question? Though I know it's related to energy cost status in quarter one of FY23. It's related to the energy cost situation, Massimo.
Yes. In the first quarter of this financial year, we have had an impact of more or less 2 million of euro for higher cost energy. The gas from an average price of 17 euro of the previous year reached the leverage of 102 euro per megawatt, 500% of increase of price. Regarding electricity, from 70 euro per megawatt, we reached in the previous quarter 250 euro per megawatt, more or less 260% of the increase of price. And we are speaking about the first quarter, because if you see today the situation in the month of July and August, there was an increase of more or less 100% compared to the first quarter. So the situation started to be very, very difficult. But in our profit and loss, the impact in the first quarter was more or less 2 million euros.
Got it, sir. Thank you. Thanks.
Mr. Gandodia, does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, it does. Thank you. And all the best to the team.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pujin Shah from Congruence Advisors. Kindly proceed.
Hello, sir. I have just one question. So, can you just make us understand about the mechanism related to how you procure the raw material? Are on basis on a 6 months, 3 months basis of contract basis, and how we are passing the cost, as like, you know, the volatility is so much that we can't continuously passing on. And as if commodity price has been decreasing currently, so there will be some chance if we don't pass and we just maintain the relations. So can you just make us understand the mechanism for it?
Yeah, sure. As far as aluminium alloy is concerned, it is always it's always based on either 2 or 3 monthly for all customers, except for one, I said HMSI, which is a quarter lag. Now, as far as quarter lag is concerned, these rates are fixed based on the quotes you get from the secondary alloy ingot suppliers. And this is for all the customers for the quarter for which we are asking the increase. So in some cases, we are directly buying from our own suppliers. There are also customer-directed suppliers from whom we have to buy. It's a combination of both. But normally, these prices are settled for that quarter between us and the customer based on the alloy supplier competitive quotes you get from a few suppliers. You are talking about aluminium for Endurance, or you are talking about Maxwell?
Just for the Endurance.
Yes, so only for Endurance. So basically, it is based on a quarterly basis. Sometimes you have customers like Bajaj, whom I just do for 2 months. If the trend is very volatile, so then we'll fix up those prices with Bajaj in agreement with them for 2 months or 3 months, depending on the case, as may be. And then we accordingly finalize rates with our suppliers for the specific 2 or 3 months, so we don't lose. So it's a back-to-back with the supplier is normally what we do for that period. Only for one customer, it's a quarter lag, or in AC2B, like I said, a two-quarter lag. So when the prices are increasing, you lose. When the prices are decreasing, you gain,
Okay, sir. And that answers my question. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citi. Kindly proceed.
Hi. Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, just a question on the European operations. If you could share the revenue, EBITDA, and PAT in zero terms.
Sorry?
Arvind, you are not clear. Can you speak clearly? We are not able to hear you.
Yeah, we are able to understand the question.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Sharma. Mr. Sharma, can you hear us?
Sir, am I clear now? Can you hear me?
Now it's much better.
Sorry for that, sir. If you could share your revenue, EBIT and PAT in euro terms for the European operation.
So, Massimo, can you answer that? Quarter one?
Yes.
EBIT and PAT.
So, the first quarter of 2022-23, we closed with 61.1 million of euros of turnover compared 62.3 of the previous financial year, with a reduction of 1.9%. In terms of EBITDA, we closed with 8.4 million of euros, 13.7%, compared 18.2% of the previous financial year. In terms of net result, we closed with 2.9 million of euros, 4.8%, compared 4.7 million of euros of the previous financial year. Please consider that in this amount, in this profit and loss, we have had an impact of the increase of aluminium on more or less 0.8%. So it means that the EBITDA, without consider the effect of aluminium, should have been 14.5%, and as I told you before, another impact of 2 million of euros in terms of energy cost. And so without energy and without aluminium, the EBITDA should have been 17.5%, more or less in line compared to the previous financial year.
Got it. Thank you, sir. And just one question on the Indian operation. Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Sir, what do you think would be could be the impact on margins of a general premiumization if it happens in the Indian motorcycle business? Do you see any premiumization happening that helping you apart from the ABS?
Actually, you know, Arvind, I'm not able to hear you clearly. I'm sorry. Can you please repeat?
My apologies, sir. Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Sir, your views on premiumization in the Indian motorcycle business and the impact on endurance.
Okay. If I have understood correctly, your view on premiumization in Indian motorcycle market and that impact on our margins. Is that the question?
Right, sir.
As the premiumization increases, which we are fortunate with the mandatory ABS, inverted front forks coming in, paper-based clutch assemblies coming in. We are also with Adler introducing newer assistant slip APTC clutch assemblies from next financial year, early next financial year. This definitely will add to our margins. Coupled with the fact that we have gone for backward integration of these high-end products like steel-grade hoses for ABS to improve our profit margins further, and for axle clamps, axle clamps, which are aluminium forgings for our inverted front forks. So definitely, as this increases, our margins will definitely increase. I'm seeing the premiumization happening. I'm seeing most OEMs going more and more to high-end vehicles. But today, I think the leader is Bajaj KTM. TVS with BMW and with their own products are also, I think, catching up, you know. And we see all other OEMs focusing on the higher end, all other OEMs. But of course, what percentage it will be depends on the appetite of the Indian market to purchase these high end vehicles. You know.
Thank you, sir. And apologies for the connection problem. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Kindly proceed.
Hi, sir. Firstly, if I look at your aftermarket sales, while it has grown 54% YOY, but if you look at last three quarters, the run rate was around 120 crores per quarter on average. So there is a big drop over there in this quarter. So any reason behind that?
The reason behind is, the quarter four is always the best quarter in terms of profitability and growth. So that has an impact definitely in April, you know, month. So if you see historically, and if I go back last 10 years, quarter one is always the lowest, you know, always the lowest. So that's the main reason. But as you go towards quarter two and quarter three and quarter four are going to be the best. So always the second half, you know, accounts for, I think, almost two-thirds of the aftermarket, or could be, you know, higher in a standard year. So the weak bracket is quarter to quarter, which is a 53% growth, you know.
Okay, so we have talking about delivering, say, high double-digit growth kind of growth in this vertical.
Sorry?
Aftermarket.
Sorry?
So we are confident about delivering a high double digit kind of growth.
For sure, 100%.
And secondly, in this brake assembly business, you mentioned you have 31% market share in this quarter, right?
Yes.
But sir, if I recall correctly, I think maybe 1.5 year back in FY21 calls, we were mentioning that our market share was around 29% and we were aspiring to go towards 50% plus because of the order that we got.
Yes.
So is there some delay over there because we were supposed to reach that number by FY22 end?
Yes. See, yeah, that is depending upon the, I think, increasing the capacities, not capacity, increasing the supplies. We already have the capacities in our new plant, and all these new orders of HMCL not started. Yamaha also, the scooter disc brakes is still at 50%, it has to go to 100%. Bajaj also, the new, I would say, range of 250cc pulses, that has to go to at least 15,000 to 20,000 sets compared to 3,000 to 5,000. And TVS has to go to that high level, we will reach the peak of the 125 crore order which we have got. Once these will happen, our focus of course is 50%, but it will go up. Also, Bajaj not growing. You know, Bajaj, we have very high share of business, as you know, of brakes. So in quarter one, with their only 1.1% growth, has also dampened this, I would say, the brake system SOB. So I would say, as the new OEMs, really ramp up the volumes, and as Bajaj improves, definitely our target is 50%, for sure.
And what was the market share last year in this brake assembly?
In the brake, it was in the brake assemblies, it was, I think, about 30%.
Okay. So now that things are normalizing on this semiconductor, everything, premium motorcycles are increased. So in this year, can we see at least going towards 40%? Is that possible number?
Well, let's really hope so, because I have got the capacities. And like I said, in October, I'm planning 470,000, brake assemblies from October onwards. So let's really hope so that happens, you know.
Oh, got it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay from Anand Rathi. Kindly proceed.
Hi, I'm good afternoon. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So question for Maximo, sir. Sir, could you provide us the outlook for the European business after the recent tensions? And last quarter, you had won an order of 14 million euros from Stellantis for mild and full hybrid applications. Any more color on that?
So, yes. In the previous quarter, we closed more or less 14.5 million of euros new business with our customer, basically 7 million of euro with Daimler, and the rest shared between Magna and Stellantis. All these projects are in electrical solution. The SOP, the leverage of the start of production for this business will be in 2024. And these reinforce our excellent performance of the previous financial year, where, as you know, we closed with 71 million of euro of acquisition. This was the best year of our history. So to demonstrate that in this moment, even if the market is very weak, because frankly speaking, in this moment, in the European market, we are doing more or less minus 35% compared to the previous financial year. All the OEM are working in a tough way in the new project for the electrical vehicle, also because, as you know, in the month of July, the European government officialized that starting from 2035, we will stop the production of internal combustion engines. So it means that everybody, we have only, let me say, 10 years in order to create a new segment, a new range of products for 100% electric.
But just a follow-up, then, there have been news that there are some companies, they are trying. So how does that play out?
Akshay, sorry, we lost your question there. Could you please repeat it?
For 5 seconds.
Sure. Hello, am I audible now?
Yes.
So the question is, so there are some companies in Europe, so they are developing Euro 7 diesel engines. So how does that play out? So considering the story that the EV electronic, the EV would still be in the picture, of course, But then there are some companies developing Euro 7 diesel engines as well. So how does that story play out, sir?
They are developing an engine, if I understood well the question, only for one reason, because starting from 2035, for sure you can sell, you can register the new car without electric technology in Europe. But please consider that in this moment the German market export more or less 1.2 million of cars per year. So it means that they will continue to produce internal combustion engine technology for the other countries.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Just a question on this Suzuki order that sir had mentioned, that 140 crore Suzuki order. Just to clarify that the share of business is 100%, right? And what would be the execution period for the same? And any possibility to get orders for Suzuki export market as well in this, for this in the future?
I think this is 100% SOB. In July, mm-hmm. which is starting, I said, in 2024, you know. I think it's April 2024. I could be wrong slightly here and there. I don't have the LOI in front of me. But I'm sure that they would be, this would be both for domestic and exports. I'm sure the same scooter, if they are exporting it, I'm not very sure whether they're exporting the scooter. But if they're exporting it, then of course, these front forks would also go for exports. But right now, I'm not sure whether this scooter is being exported or not. But I'll get back to you. I'll just check up with my marketing team.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. That's all from my side, sir. All the best, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the management will be taking one last question.
No, I just wanted to clarify this is also for exports. I've got an answer. The Suzuki front fork is also for exports. And we are also anyway doing existing, other model front forks which are being exported. But it's via Suzuki. We supply to Suzuki and they export it. So it's for both.
Thank you, sir. The last question is from the line of Jay Shah from Capital PMS. Kindly proceed.
Hi, thank you so much and congratulations for the great set of numbers. My question was partly answered, at least one part of it. But I just wanted to ask the management that, you know, as you said, that premiumization is happening and we have a heavy dependency on one of the OEMs. Do we have in plan something that, you know, we might even try to de-risk the dependency? Because it may be that, you know, someone might grab the market share and our wallet share for that OEM might not be that, you know, significant. But we may try to get a good amount of wallet share from that OEM.
See, fortunately, when you talk about premiumization, when it comes to inverted front forks, there may be only another one player as of what I remember now, okay? If you see ABS, there's only Bosch mainly. There could be Continental. If you talk about machined castings of high-end motorcycles, I'm not talking non-Bajaj.
Sure.
We are the first choice normally, you know. Unless there are some strategic reasons of going to a multinational competition, which have been the case in the past. But we are always in consideration because of our experience on Indian road conditions, our competitiveness. But sometimes we have seen, in spite of being competitive, for strategic reasons, some of these, it only happened one case that the premium, one of the products went to a competition. And they openly told us it's a strategic call. So, like I said, we are focused on all our premium products because we have the longest experience, we are competitive, we have the technology, both in product and process. And we are, and I'll tell you, we are just going after business. We are really hungry for this business and we are not going to leave any stones unturned in this process, you know.
That's great to hear. Can I just ask one more question to the Maxwell management, please?
Yeah, sure. So you have both the founders here, Akhil Aryan and Alex Collett. Both are in Europe, actually, right now. So you can ask them.
Okay. So I just wanted to ask, each of them can answer. I just wanted to ask, the way the technology is changing when it comes to the EV batteries, you know, I wanted to know what is our preparedness when it comes to, you know, maybe getting in and blending in with, if there is a new technology that's coming up. You know, how does our VMS, how is our preparedness and how much time does it take for us to, you know, get in tune with the new technology that's coming up. Like, for the example, right now, lithium is probably ruling the roost, but you never know. I mean, the way it's changing, then, you know, how do we change our system according to that?
Sorry, this is Akhil. I can take part of the answer, and then Alex, if you want to chime in, up to you. So typically, you know, at the end of the day, a battery will always be a battery. There will be a cathode, an anode, a separator, and there will be, you know, ions moving between those two terminals, and batteries will require battery management systems. So in terms of at a fundamental level, batteries require active management to perform their entire life, to be safe, to be reliable, and also to be able to predict their state of health, state of charge, range estimation, so on and so forth. So at a core level, battery management systems are a very fundamental element of being able to deliver anything that is battery powered, whether it's your phone, your laptop, your electric vehicle, scooter, so be it. Now, your question is really about how adaptive and how fast we can adapt to the market. And I think this is one of our core USPs, right? What we've done as a company when we started building the technology is, instead of taking a product approach where you design a specific product for a specific chemistry or a specific application like a two-wheeler or a three-wheeler, what we've done is we've designed the technology as a platform. So it takes a little bit more effort. It requires a lot more investment on the software, which is the embedded software side of things. But we've taken a platform approach, which is a longer journey, which allows us to now very quickly configure the battery management system for various different technologies, various different applications, as well as chemistry. So an example over here would be, let's say, our LT product, which is the FSLT, the low voltage BMS product. We've invested heavily on the software side of things, which includes your desktop configuration tools, as well as the config tools on the BMS itself, which allows us to use it across chemistry. So there's LFP, NMC, and, you know, LTO, LCO, so there are different variants of lithium ion, as you might be aware. So we can work across chemistry and across applications, which means that the same hardware can be reconfigured very easily in a matter of minutes, I would say, to work with different chemistries as well as different applications. So a scooter, an e-rickshaw, a motorcycle, a telecom tower, a forklift, all of them can use the same product with using our platform approach by configuring the embedded software that goes inside of it. So by taking a platform approach, we really invested early on in order to be extremely agile and ready for the future. When it comes to actually designing new battery management systems for different chemistries beyond lithium, I think that's also something we have a keen eye on. We're looking at the market and seeing what kind of technologies are getting adoption. But eventually these technologies, you know, even if there was, for example, a better technology product compared to lithium, from a commercialization standpoint, as you know, batteries are really expensive. And so for them to reach mass market, it's not just the technology, but also the commercialization that needs to ramp up. So we're looking at technologies that both have technical depth as well as scalability. And, you know, being a new BMS for that is a function of recalibrating some of our algorithms, but the core platform can be reused. So I'll pause there unless you have anything more.
No. That was a great answer. That was really helpful. Thank you, Dr. And all the best to the management.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the floor over to the management for closing comments.
Well, the only thing I would again repeat is that for everybody on this call, that we at Endurance have a very positive outlook based on our new large business wins in the last 2 years, including for electric vehicles, both in India and Europe. We'll do everything possible to grow in a higher profitable way in the future. All the best. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.